everybody, and welcome back to the Almost Varsity Sports Podcast. We're here for episode 3, 2 episodes down. We did pretty well. I'm one of your hosts, Not So Little John, along here with Angel Steve 89.
What's everybody? We're going to hit you with the double this week. Earlier in the week, we had the fantasy football podcast, and then this week is our regularly scheduled program of some college football picks and updates.
So I know you guys are a little excited. You've heard the grumblings. Last year we started out pretty hot with our picks when we tried to get this going in terms of getting a podcast going. It lasted a few weeks before we kind of trailed off. But now we're back to bring you some hot soup picks for your money-making abilities this week. And that's just one of our highlights for the day. Obviously, we'll hit your favorite segments and get after it today, and mostly with college football until next week.
Yeah, and so we have the NFL going. It's mostly going to be all college football. LJ is going to give his picks. He's our college football expert. I just kind of listen to what he says and then bet against Clemson just to make him mad. So he'll have some picks for you today. But then let's start off with some just news in the general sports world. Kind of hot off the presses a few hours ago, we had the biggest news in the NFL was that looks like Teddy Bridgewater destroyed his knee in half and may have ruined the Vikings season before it even starts.
It's definitely not looking good, Steve. I mean, this Vikings team, everyone had them poised to make a jump, compete with the Packers in the NFC North, and now it's not looking too pretty. I mean, I don't even know who's going to be the backup over in Minnesota right now.
I think they're going to give Brett Favre a call. You know, he's out there somewhere, and
possible.
Yeah, he somehow got his number 4 to go in the Hall of Fame as a Packer and a Viking. So the Minnesota greats will probably come looking for him. And the great thing about like Twitter and all the news today is that like someone tweeted out like the official 911 call of what happened, and the initial report from the Vikings side of the line said like dislocated knee. That sounds terrible. My knees hurt walking upstairs, so if I dislocate them on a football field, I'm going to be out for 2 years. So this is not a good sign for the Vikings.
And we're both in pretty good shape, so I feel like...
Oh, yeah. I walk up 4 flights of stairs every day and pass out.
I feel like we'd be able to recover pretty quickly from that. So not so good for Teddy Bridgewater.
My little take from this is if you could still get the Packers to win a division at a decent odds, like who's going to beat them now? I mean, it's probably going to be pushing to minus 200, 250 soon. But I checked right after the injury, and I think you can still get the Packers at, you know, minus 170. It's still decent juice, but I think it's probably worth it because there's really no one in that division that I see competing. The Vikings were the only chance to give the Packers a run for their money.
I actually see that it is now off the board.
So there you go. Yeah, so that's going to pop up next week, and by then it's not going to be worth it. So
nope, we'll have missed it. Unfortunately, and I also have some breaking news that Sean Hill is the backup in Minnesota.
Oh, boy. It sounds like Mark Sanchez is going to get cut and probably get a call from Minnesota if I have to take a guess here.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. But kind of staying in our football world, but moving over into a little bit of everything to show you we do touch on everything, but we have Tim Tebow, who obviously, as you all know, kind of fizzled out in the NFL, won one big playoff game for Denver, and bounced around from team to team looking for a job, couldn't get anything, and now he's trying his hand with baseball.
Does Tebow quit baseball immediately, thinking that the Vikings might give him a call? Because I'm sure Skip Bayless probably thinks that he could take the Vikings to a Super Bowl. But, yeah, so some reason he's picking baseball now. I saw there's a couple reports out there that he shows some power. Like, I mean, yeah, he's a gifted athlete. The dude's a, you know, in freak physical condition. I'm sure he could groove an 80-mile-an-hour fastball over a fence. I mean, I'm not shocked by that. They saw some reports that he was running a 6'6", 60-yard dash. You know, that's, you know, slightly better than, you know, Bryce Harper and Derek Jeter. I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, the guy can run. The guy can probably hit a baseball. He's not a Major League Baseball player, though. In a game, this guy couldn't get past AAA if you gave him 2 years. So I've had enough with Tebow already. I would love to see him jump back to the football side of things if some injuries happen. But, you know, Tebow is God, so who knows what will happen.
So I want to agree with you here. but I kind of more and more am getting into Tebow, surprisingly. I want to see Tebow be successful now, and I don't know why. I can't really put my finger on it.
Somebody's been to the church of Tebow and had some Jesus juice.
Yeah, I've probably had a whole gallon. I have to say, I hope that there's some chance that the Vikings pick up the phone and give him a call. Obviously, we're both probably leaning towards that not happening at all.
I think I just got some breaking news that they did call him. So, you know, broken here on AVS episode 3 is Tim Tebow is going to audition for the Vikings.
Breaking here.
Yeah.
I don't see the negative for a minor league team bringing him in. He's going to sell tickets. I mean, that's what minor league teams struggle to sell tickets. They always look for the gimmicks with the ridiculous jerseys and Darren Revelle tweeting about their stupid food, their 7,000 calorie hot dog or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's going to get signed, and someone's going to say, like, oh, look, he could totally make it. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to get signed for talent.
No, I mean, I don't think so either. I think it doesn't hurt to give him a shot, though. They said he was trying out in the outfield. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I predict that he gets a minor league offer somewhere, but we'll probably end a few weeks from now.
Yeah. And then, all right, let's move on to our weekly segments here. This is the segment that I created and love the best, and it is why Notre Dame sucks. So this week for me, this is college kids are going back to school. It's syllabus week. It's get drunk week. You don't even have to go to class, I'm pretty sure. But at Notre Dame, if you have a girl in your dorm, you must leave that door open at all times, and that girl must leave by midnight. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. This is not what college is supposed to be about. You know, if you're going to Notre Dame, like, obviously you're smart, you know what you're doing, but if the fact that you can't have a girl go into your dorm past midnight and you have to have the door open, that crosses Notre Dame off the list to begin with. So that just, it's anytime I see a guy say they're going to Notre Dame and they're not playing football, I just want to laugh and be like, enjoy that, sucker.
I wonder how hard it is to enforce that.
I have no idea, but I was reading some school rule books today and they were like, they seemed like they were pretty intent on it. So good luck with that. You know, go enjoy your college experience with no chicks. Enjoy that, Notre Dame.
I hope our listeners understand what we're giving them here on Almost Varsity Sports Podcast. I mean, how many podcasts are you listening to where your hosts are willing to dive deep into the depths of school handbooks to find out rules and why, and fill you in on why we hate Notre Dame? I'm going to go on the other side of that and go towards the football aspect of things and talk about why Notre Dame sucks there. And it's because they're still not in a goddamn conference. Being an ACC fan and kind of hitting close to home, now they get to play 5 ACC teams a year to still say they are kind of part of the ACC. They get to play in the ACC for basketball, which everyone knows is the holy grail. And they can still schedule whatever out-of-conference games they want so they can get as many home games and all the revenue that comes in with it. So
yeah, it's perfect Notre Dame.
It's bullshit, and I'm over it.
It's perfect Notre Dame. It's like, oh, I kind of had a girl sleep over. Oh, no, you didn't. She left at midnight. Oh, I kind of joined a conference and feel like everybody else. No, you didn't. You're still not part of a conference.
You're still independent.
I mean, for me, I hate that because then, like, they don't have an extra game at the end of the year. If there's no conference championship game, like, Alabama's going to have to play LSU, and the loser of that probably won't make, you know, the playoff. But, you know, Notre Dame's sitting at home, not even playing a game.
My thing is, what makes it really weird to me is that, like you said, the conference championship is so huge, and it would be such a big resume builder for Notre Dame if they had one more big game at the end of the year. And I know right now you can look at a Notre Dame schedule and say that the names that they play on a consistent basis are going to give them tough out-of-conference schedules. However, they're basically banking that USC is going to be good every year, that Army is going to be good every year. They're renewing their rivalry with Michigan. They're saying that Michigan is going to be good every year. Because if one year when these teams stink but they're locked into contracts for extended periods of time, their schedule is going to look awful when they're ending up playing the bottom 5 teams in the ACC.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with Notre Dame here as we move on to our other segment here of highly recruited, highly educated. So we just mentioned how strict they are with some of the rules at Notre Dame. Well, 6 Notre Dame football players were recently suspended for an incident near campus. There was suspicion of marijuana and some other shady college activity. The other five kids, I don't really care about here. This is about starting safety, Max Redfield. He was kicked off the team. So he's already given his chances by Notre Dame, didn't get suspended, just flat out kicked off the team. A week before his senior year as safety, this defense needs him. They're not that good to begin with. And now they have to, you know, kind of restart the safety things, play some young kids. And it's just, how could you, like, if you're going to a school like Notre Dame, you know the rules. You know that there's going to be no tolerance policy. You've probably been warned a few times, and now you've finally gotten kicked off. You know, Max Redfield, you are highly recruited and highly educated.
And for my highly recruited, highly educated linebacker of the week, we're going to one of Notre Dame's rivals and talking about the USC Trojans. Linebacker Osa Messina. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. But he's currently being investigated by police in two different states. So not only do you have a chance to, well, from what we were talking about here on our college football podcast, or the original college football podcast last week, I had mentioned how high I was on USC this year. I think that they're going to hit the over in the wins. And now one of their better linebackers is under investigation in two states for sexual assault. So right when they had a chance to break into the Pac-12, when the conference is completely up in the air, you're going to go do something stupid and show yourself that even though you're a sophomore linebacker, now being investigated in Utah as well, you, my friend, are not only highly recruited, but highly educated.
This segment seems like it just writes itself every week. You know, it's I'm going to enjoy this throughout the college football season.
I'm not going to lie. When we decided we were going to do this, I loved the idea, and I was like, I just don't know if we're going to get enough material. But it's pretty relevant every week. It's not even like we have to go deep into the bag for some outdated material here.
Not at all. All right, now we're going to go into our hot soup picks. Since it's college football week, John's going to give his five top picks this week, and I'll read off the games, and he'll have his. So here is our hot soup picks of the week. All right, so for our first game, we have Wake Forest versus Tulane. This game is at Wake Forest, I believe.
It is at Wake Forest. Let me tell you, I was kind of on the fence. This is one of my lower games this week, but I wanted to get an early Thursday game because this is going to be published right in time for our fans to get out there and take this. I absolutely love Tulane plus 17 at Wake Forest. I'm seeing this game being way closer than these 17 points. Wake Forest hasn't beat a team. I'm pretty sure that when I did the research earlier, it was two games where they actually won by more than 17 points in the last 2 years. The spread is just absolutely too big. Tulane's not bad. And the key sneaky fact here is Tulane is breaking out new unis this year. And I love getting behind a college team, a bunch of like 18 to 22, 23-year-olds that are breaking out new uniforms. Tell me if I'm wrong. I know when I was 18, if I could have played at the University of Oregon and played with the different cool uniforms every week, I would have been jacked up to go there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're getting a little old now, but those original like videos where like the equipment manager comes out in full like blacked out uniform and like the entire locker room goes bananas. Those are one of like the best college video viral videos that before it happens, like they just do it for every uniform now. But
I think it's pretty solid. I mean, Tulane, they're a young team. I do like them. They're slowly growing. They're not ever going to be super relevant. But the problem is, this line is so big because the Demon Deacons last year played close games with Florida State, Louisville, Duke, and Indiana. They were all about a touchdown losses. So the problem here is the public's going to see, oh, Wake Forest actually played pretty well with these big-name teams. Jack up the line. The problem is their offense isn't that good. If you're going to get 17 points against a team with like Wake Forest with that crappy offense, you're going to take it. You're going to run to the bank and cash that ticket.
Nice. Moving on, it's another game that doesn't feature the, it won't be on CBS or ESPN here, but what are you thinking for Toledo versus Arkansas State?
Toledo's at Arkansas State. and currently getting 3.5 points. I absolutely love Toledo in this pick, and this might be my second favorite pick of the week this week. I saw a crazy stat this week that said last two times these teams have played, Toledo has won. That's not the crazy stat. The crazy stat is last time they played, Toledo put up 550 yards rushing on the ground against Arkansas State. About 540 of those yards are returning to play in this game against Arkansas State. I know I liked Arkansas State, and when I was doing my research for the our Almost Varsity Sports college football preview, I did a lot of deep diving into Toledo, Arkansas State. I have Toledo winning their conference. I love them. So you know right from the get-go that we were high on them. Steve and I both took the over 7.5 this year on Toledo, and we're hoping to cash that ticket as well. Arkansas State returns its entire line, but it's rebuilding everywhere else.
Well, it sounds like they didn't even play with a D-line last year if they're giving up 500 yards rushing.
Yeah, there you go. So that, they weren't much to begin with. So, like I was saying, there was a 63-44 win in 2015 and a 37-7 win last year. They're similar offenses. They're both high-paced. They're both high-octane. The problem is Toledo is not going to be able to be stopped. Arkansas State's not going to stop them, and Toledo's going to score points. Give me the 3 with the hook. Toledo plus 3.5.
Nice. Next up, we got the UCLA Bruins versus the Texas A&M Aggies. What are you thinking?
So I was thinking about this. This was one of the games that snuck onto our picks for the week. My problem with this game is I did kind of like UCLA this year. I was kind of high on them. I think Josh Rosen is really good quarterback. The key here is that Texas A&M is home. So if you look at the schedule last year, you'll see the UCLA was pretty good. They came on strong at the end of the year, but everyone saw how good Josh Rosen is. The public had a taste of what a stud quarterback he's going to be, and he could be the number one pick in the 2018 draft. However, the public is so attached to that one player, they don't realize they're going on the road to one of the toughest places to play in college football. That's Kyle Field. Now, the Aggies aren't that great of a team. They're 6.5, the over-under 6.5 in Vegas right now. Again, I'm on the over there. They're rebuilding a little bit. I think they had the transfer, Trevor Knight from Oklahoma. I don't know if you remember him, Steve. He's now probably going to start a quarterback for them.
Oh, very nice.
However, pretty much coaching for his job this season. Kevin Sumlin, I think, is out of town if he does not pick up the slack this year. So the team's going to rally around him. This is all his recruiting classes. They're going to rally around him. They get the home field advantage in an afternoon game in Rowdy Kyle Field. I'm going with Texas A&M, -3. Book it.
Nice. And, yeah, that home field advantage is huge for A&M. You know, the original 12th man there. So I like that one as well. Moving on, we got the boys out in Washington versus the hometown crew of Rutgers. I'm going to guess you're not going to be on Rutgers here, but you tell me.
I am not going to be on Rutgers. I'm actually going with the favorite, -26.5, Washington at home. Rutgers is traveling across the country to play these Huskies. We all know Rutgers is historically pretty awful, but what you don't know is Washington is the hot pick in the world right now. Everyone likes Washington to win it all. They're bringing the whole team back from last year. They were an inexperienced bunch last year, but they got a lot of game time under their belt. Jake Browning is back under center. He's a great quarterback. But the key to this game is the Rutgers offense versus the Washington defense. The Huskies defense was awesome last year. They're only going to be better. Now, you pair that in with the fact that Rutgers has zero offense to begin with, and I think Washington's going to run away with this one. They know that they're the talk of the nation as a sleeper pick. Phil Steele put it on the map early in February when he came out with his initial looks at college football for this year. And the wheel has only started to spin on Washington. Everyone's for him. However, I just think that defense is good enough to live up to the hype. Rutgers isn't going to be able to score. Washington will win by 4 touchdowns easy.
I was just going to say, 4 touchdowns is a lot to give up. It sounds like that game is going to be over from the get-go, and really the only reason to watch it, unless you're a fan of these, is to make your cashier AVS tickets here. Moving on to the final pick, and this is probably going to be one of the most important games of the year for both teams here. If you listen to our first episode, you will see that both these teams were featured in the in our college football picks for whether it could be a Heisman candidate or if it's going to be someone that can blow up the college football playoffs. But the highlight game of the week is Houston versus Oklahoma. What are you thinking there?
I love this game. This was my favorite game of the week at Houston plus 10. It's only gone up. Now you're getting 11.5 points. Jump on it as soon as you click play on this podcast because that number will go down. I love Houston getting 10 to 11.5, whatever you can get at this point. They're playing at a neutral field, NRG Stadium in Texas. Spoiler alert, Steve, NRG Stadium is only 20 minutes away from the Houston campus. Oklahoma fans a little longer to travel on a year where Houston can possibly make some noise and break into a college football playoff. Every alumni in the near vicinity is going to make that trip to the Houston campus and take the short drive over to NRG Stadium. This is going to be practically a home game for Houston. Greg Ward Jr. is a stud and a legitimate Heisman contender this year. Last year, he absolutely walloped Florida State in the Peach Bowl, and I don't see that changing. Houston's offense is so good, they're going to be able to stay within the number here against Oklahoma. I'm not calling for the upset. I do think it's possible. However, I'm taking Houston plus 10 against Oklahoma because they will be able to keep this in the number by scoring enough points. And yes, if you want one sneaky pick for the weekend, which I love, and I'm throwing a small bet on it just to keep it interesting, I love Houston with on the money line and the USC Trojans to upset Alabama on the money line in a little parlay. The odds are crazy. I can see both things happening. USC has the talent. Houston has the talent. I like it. That's not part of the five. I'm throwing it in just as a clean for you guys this weekend to make some more money.
Like you said, I was big on Houston in the last podcast here. Just to cover 11.5, this game's got to be a ridiculously high score. And I think the over-under right now set it at 68, but I think that could even be going up here. I mean, you're looking – you've got to – it almost could be first to score 50 wins that game out in Texas.
That absolutely could be, Steve. You're 100% right. Baker Mayfield, we both talked about him. You mentioned him as your Heisman sleeper. We know Oklahoma's going to put up points. But let me tell you, Greg Ward Jr. is a stud, and he will have Houston right behind them.
Nice. So those are the hot soup picks of the week. They were all done by LJ because it's all college football. But next week, expect a little split between the two of us as we get into the NFL. We're going to have a new segment here for the first time on. It's called the Corey Bet. And this one is based about one of our friends, Corey, who, like us, is a little bit of a degen when it comes to placing some bets. And for some reason, whenever he comes into a bar and looks at a score, he's like, whatever his bet is, could not be more wrong. Hey, what's the Cowboys under look like? I think I really like that today. Oh, it's 27-15 in like the first quarter somehow, and he's already lost it. So occasionally we're going to give you some times where we just look like idiots, and we're going to call that the Corey bet. So as we're filming this, we're filming it on a Tuesday because we got the holiday coming up here. And earlier today, I was at the U.S. Open enjoying some cocktails, making some bets, and I was doing really well. I'm up a decent amount right now in the day, but then I decided to throw one more in there. I bet on my boy Dominic Thiem. He's ranked 8th in the world. Right now he's in the 5th set. He was like – the juice on him was through the roof. So if he loses, my entire day goes to shot, and it becomes the ultimate Corey bet on a Tuesday. But, you know, it's not official yet. He still can pull it out, so I'm on the fence. I'm going to be sweating this one out for the next hour. But if it does, I'll own up to it and put it as – Corey bet number one is betting Thiem in round one of the U.S. Open.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to have some Corey bets in my hot soup five following up next week. So don't worry, I'll be ready to jump right in there with you.
All right, then moving on to our final segment of the evening. It is our almosts. I really liked the ones that we had last week to start the podcast. But this week I got Joey Bosa's mom. Joey Bosa finally gave in, a little compromise with the Chargers, but finally signed and will get his butt in camp and finally – actually, I'm going to get his ass in camp. This isn't PG here. He's going to get his ass in camp, and he's going to work. And it's going to be – he's going to do great this year. There's probably no doubt about that. But his mom was out there too much. She was the overprotective mom screaming that, you know, we hate the Chargers. We wish we pulled an Eli. Wow, wow, wow. Well, your son just signed for, like, the most guaranteed money in Chargers history. So, Joey Bosa, mother, you are my almost of the week.
I love that. I love that this segment's going to go so many places, and I'm totally okay with it. Going back towards the sports world is what's keeping it in the sports world. My almost of the week goes to the NCAA Football Association. They really struggled here. I don't know why they put Cal and Hawaii to open the season last week and decided it'd be a good day, a good idea to take a week off in between games and just have their opening slate revolve around this one game. But Cal was obviously a 20-point favorite. It wasn't expected to be closed. It wasn't close. If you look at the Australian stadium, it wasn't crowded. But I'm leaning more towards the good almost of the week and saying
– change it up.
Yeah, and saying we are almost back to football season, and I hope everyone's as excited as we are.
Almost, yeah. But we'll be the day of, by the time you guys listen, there'll be football that night. So we are about less than 48 hours away from college football, and then we're, you know, a week away from the NFL. So we are almost there, guys. Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll get there.
They may be a little longer because we're going to be a little rambunctious once football starts, but we'll try to track it down to a half hour so that you guys can listen to them on your commute too.
Yeah, we should do like a quick 10-minute like recording on Sundays when we get absolutely – we'll go to Street 36 and get the, you know, $5 buckets of Bud Light and then realize all of our bets are not correct. Or either way, it'll be a good 10 minutes, I think, for us to recap the what happened that day.
Either way, we'll celebrate. Celebrate drinking and having fun, or celebrate winning some dollars.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening to us, guys. We will be back next week. I think we're going to try and have two again next week, a little NFL preview, you know, with AFC, NFC champions like we did with the college football. And then later in the week, our typical, this episode again, part two.
That's our first. That's going to be the first all-in football episode. I'm
pumped. I like it. Thanks, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Keep listening.
Bye.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.